Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, chapter 14, text 13 and 14, is that right? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Mudiraya Nasta Prayeshvabadeshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavata Dhamma Sloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Krishne Svadamo Pagate Dharma Gyana Dibisaha Kalonasta Lishamesha Puranar Godunoritaha. I want to mention one thing before I start. This is a quote from Srila Prabhupada's first canto in a purport in the original book, page 59, if anybody wants to see it. Says, anyone who hands over Srimad Bhagavatam as charity, this great work on the full moon day, attains the highest perfection of life by going back home, back to Godhead. And it's not just any full moon. This is a really special full moon. So this says full moon. This is super full moon. Anyway, so if you get an opportunity to give one of Prabhupada's books, whether it's a Bhagavatam or any of his other books, give it to somebody. Today. You should do it every day, but especially today. And then you get to go where? Back home. Back to Godhead. It's a pretty good deal. And I got to thank Nagaraj Prabhu, because he is the back to Godhead, which Prabhupada said is the backbone of the movement. Thank you, Nag, you're the man. And while I'm at it, in the book excerpt, there's an excerpt of Our Family Business by Vaisheshika Prabhu, who is going to be here at the end of the month, and he's going to do a Sangirtan seminar on Friday and Saturday at the end of this month, the beginning of December, in this temple. And after the program, he will take devotees out and distribute books. So this is an opportunity. And this is just a little quote from that Nag took out of his book and put in there. This is Prabhupada. Our first business is book distribution. There's no need of any other business. If book distribution is managed properly, pushed on with great enthusiasm and determination, at the same time, if our men keep spiritually strong, the whole world will become Krishna conscious. And by following this, last year, Vaish sold $500,000 worth of Prabhupada's books. So soon, the whole world will be saved. Text 13. Akinchanasya dantasya shantasya samachetasaha Maya Santushta Manasa Saravashuka Maya Dishaha Akinshanasya Dantasya Santasya Samachitasaha Maya Santushta Manasa Sarvashukka Mayadishaha Akinshanasya Dantasya Shantasya Samachitasa Maya Santusta Manasa Sarvashukka Mayadishaha Akinshanasya Dantasya Santasya Namchitaha Maya Santushta Manasa Sarashuka Maya Dishaha Kinchanasya Rantasya Santasya Samachetasaha Maya Santushta Manasa Sarshuka Maya Isha Kinshanasya Rantasya Santasya Samachitasaha Maya Santushta Manasa Sarashuka Maya Isha Vaishnavis Kinchanasya Rantasya Shantasya Samachetasaha Maya Santushta Manasa Sarvashuka Maya Dishaha Kinchanasya Rantasya Shantasya Samachetasaha Maya Santushta Manasa Sarvashuka Maya Dishaha Akinchanasya Dantasya Santasya Samachetasaha Santushta Manasa Sarvashuka Maya Dishaha Akinchanasya Dantasya Shantasya Samachetasaha Maya Santushta Manasa Sarva Shukha Maya Ishaha Akinchanasya Dantasya Shantasya Samachetasaha Maya Santushta Manasa Sarvashuka Maya Dishaha Maya Santushta Manasa Sarvashuka Maya Dishaha Akinchanasya Dantasya Shantasya Samachetasaha Maya Santushta Manasa Sarvashuka Maya Dishaha Akinchanasya Dantasya Shantasya Samachetasaha Maya Santushta Manasa Sarvashuka Maya Dishaha Kinchanasya Dantasya Santasya Samachetasaha Maya Santushta Manasa Sarvashuka Maya Dishaha Everyone should do it. I just read in the Gajendra Moksha, Prabhupada says in the purport, you should memorize mantras, and that way, even if you take birth as an animal, you'll have this mantra. And I remember in New Vrindavan one time, everybody was chanting, and then somebody else started to chant, and Prabhupada said, no, let her chant. And then he said again, everyone must chant these mantras. Anyway.
I like it when devotees are enthusiastic. It's also nice to see all of us here today. Thank you. It's funny because it just dawned on me last night when I was reading Krishna book Dharade that today is Tulsi's marriage Shalagram and it's Rasalila. So I didn't even, you know, prepare or anything about that, which is okay. It's not my thing. But it just, if anybody wants to know about it, they're going to hear from Pran or read something because my thing is mostly about preaching. Okay. Anybody else? Everybody good? Akinshanasya. Of one who does not desire anything. Dantasya. Whose senses are controlled. Shantasya. Peaceful. Samachitasaha. Whose consciousness is equal everywhere. Maya. With me. Santusta. Completely satisfied. Manasaha. Whose mind? Saravaha. All. Shukamayaha. Full of happiness. Dishaha. Directions. One who does not desire anything within this world, one who has achieved peace by controlling his senses, whose consciousness is equal in all conditions, and whose mind is completely satisfied in me, finds only happiness wherever he goes. Wouldn't that be nice? It's like that verse of King Yayati, Yadana Kurute Bhavam, Sarva Bhuteshva Mangalam, Samadrishteshtada Pungsham, Sarva Shukha Mayadishaha. That one says that man who is not envious and does not wish ill fortune for anyone sees the entire world as happy, and he has nothing for which to hanker. This is peace. This is freedom. This is, we can have that consciousness. It's actually available, believe it or not. Purport by the sincere followers of Srila Prabhupada. A devotee who is always meditating on Lord Shri Krishna experiences transcendental sound, touch, form, flavor, and aroma in the pastimes of the Lord. These sublime perceptions are certainly due to the causeless mercy of Lord Krishna upon one whose mind and senses are completely satisfied in him. Such a person finds only happiness wherever he goes. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives the example. When a very wealthy man travels all over the world, every place he stays, he enjoys the same luxurious standard of comfort. Similarly, one who has developed Krishna consciousness is never separated from happiness because Lord Krishna is all-pervading. The word kinchana indicates so-called enjoyable things of this world. One who is akinchana has correctly understood material sense gratification is simply the glare of illusion, and therefore such a person is dantasya, self-controlled, shantasya, peaceful, and maya santushta manasaha, completely satisfied with his transcendental experience of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Text 14. Together. Na parameshyam na mahendra jishnyam na sarva baumam na rasari patyam na yoga siddhira punarbhavam va mayarpitat mechati madhananyat. One who has fixed his consciousness on me desires neither the position or abode of Lord Brahma or Lord Indra, nor an empire on earth, nor sovereignty in the lower planetary systems, nor the eightfold mystic yoga perfection, nor liberation from birth and death. Such a person desires me alone. The position of the akinchana pure devotee is described in this verse. Sri Priyavrata Maharaj is an example of a great devotee who was interested in universal sovereignty because his love was completely absorbed in the lotus feet of the Lord. Even the greatest material enjoyment appears most insignificant and useless to a pure devotee of the Lord. Namasheshtam manumapi sachi putram akrasarpam rupam tasya grajam rupurim maturim yostavatim radha kundam giribaram maho radikumaravasyam prapto jasya patiti kripaya shigurum tanganatosme Hey Sri Guru Jnana Radina Bandho Swananda Datta Karuneka Sindhu Vrindavana Sina Tavatara Prasida Radha Pranaya Prachara Hey Dina Bandho Karuneka Sindhu Guru Prasadam Mahimandamure Lakshavaradhe Tati Aparadhe Hey Lakshavaradhe Bhupavagadhe Tatapada Paranestu Mutista Krishna. Prabhupada said that the purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement is to make all living beings happy. And how do they become happy? How do living beings become happy? There's really only one way, and that's by bhakti. If a living entity gets bhakti, then he can be free from the material modes, and he can actually be peaceful, happy, just like it says here. And there are many ideas and plans. Some of them may even be good. But for the disciples and followers of Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada's plan is really the only plan that matters to us. And Prabhupada's plan is to save all the suffering jivas. That's the only reason he came. And the way to do it is to give them bhakti yoga. And the easiest way to give someone bhakti yoga is to give them one of these books. Now, the devotees, like I read that little thing that Prabhupada said about giving the book to someone today and following in the excerpt from Vaishya's book about doing this work, this preaching work, it's the Yuga Dharma. And Gaurini Thai and Srila Prabhupada have begged us to do it, asked us to do it, and ordered us to do it. And every devotee who has anything to do with Srila Prabhupada has to take some responsibility to do it. The only thing that can stop us from doing devotional service and being helpful instruments in Prabhupada's mission is our aparads. If we chant Hare Krishna and do devotional service, we can become freed from the modes of nature and we can get the mercy of Prabhupada. Aparad. Nam aparad is the lowest form of chanting wherein one commits the 10 offenses against the name. As long as one chants with offense, it is absolutely impossible to attain love of God. Offenses against the holy name are the most frightening of all kinds of sins. All other kinds of sins and offenses go away naturally, automatically, as one utters Harinam. But Nam Aparad does not go away so easily. That's Bhaktivinoda, Jiva Dharma. The continuous chanting of Hare Krishna Japa frees one from all material desires and quickly elevates one to the perfectional stage of Krishna praying. If these signs of spiritual advancement are not manifesting, one can conclude that he is a Nam Aparadi. Such an offender must understand the holy name is his only shelter. For one who offends the holy name, he must take shelter, filled with repentance and remorse, beg the holy name to forgive him and accept him once again into his service. We've been talking about japa lately and sadhana lately. And I just last night somebody said, chanting japa offensively is worse than not chanting japa. And of course, that was just somebody made that up. We have no praman for that. We have Shastric Praman that says, Nam aparada yuktanam namanyeva hrantyagam avishranti prayuktani tanyevartakaranicha. The only way to get free from aparad is to chant. And it's practice. Vaidhi bhakti means that you have rules and you practice. It's just like if you got a violin. You ever heard a kid with his new violin? Could be a Stradivarius. But the kid's been playing 3 days and it's painful to hear a violin player who can't play. So what does the teacher say? Practice, practice, practice. And if you just play for a month or something and you go, oh, I've heard it, it's painful. And if the kid goes, yeah, forget this, this is not sounding nice, I'm not doing this. That's what that is when you say, oh, I'm too offensive to chant. Others say they're too offensive to even come and see the deities and have darshan. There's a million reasons not to surrender to Krishna and try to participate in Prabhupada's mission. But we don't really care about those reasons. We're not into those. We're into Prabhupada. Prabhupada tells us what to do, and if you have any doubts, he's got 60 books that you can delve into, and he will tell you every single thing you ever wanted to know. Continuing. The word apparata. Now this, I never read this before, but it really stuck in my head. I read this a lot because, you know, I'm an apparati and I'm trying to get out of that condition. I'm not giving up. I mean, I'm a work in progress. And after 40 some years of trying, I'm here to tell you, it's not easy. It'd be easier to play violin. But I'm not giving up. Not, you know, when you play the violin, all you get is the violin. You know, when you do this, you get Krishna. And look at him. Don't you want him? Don't you just want to be with him? Don't you just want to see him? Literally, the term nam aparad means to displease the holy name. Now, some acharyas say aparadha means against or without radha. Now, anybody here want to do anything without or against radha? So the next time you think, because another thing is that I notice in my sadhana, I can usually chant and read and shut up and not offend people like grossly, but I can't, my mind is never gives up. Every single detail, I'm a Scorpio and I notice details and it's so painful, little things, you know, I go, oh, look what he just did or look what she just did. Oh, I can't believe you just did that. That kind of stuff will keep us away from Radha, away from Prem, which is what we're really trying to get here. I know it's hard to believe, but us, unqualified jivas. Prabhupada says here, I wrote this down last night, I was listening to him. Prabhupada said, there are other processes, but you are condemned. And then he said, we are all condemned. It's Kali Yuga. So the condemned have to pray to be unoffensive and practice the lowest type of chanting, where Krishna Nam is without apa, radha, radha. Offenses to Krishna's holy name are also offenses against Radharani. Radharani represents the topmost expression of loving affection for Krishna. Bhakti or devotion cannot exist without the presence of Srimati Radhika. Now, this is really heavy, so listen to this. By offending Srinam, one loses his taste and attraction for sadhana. I know people that haven't practiced sadhana for many, 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 many years because of this. They don't have any taste for it. And like I said, the only way to get through the hard part is to practice, practice, practice. They no longer derive happiness from hearing and chanting or sadhu sangha or even serving Sri Guru. Krishna and his devotees become, the world of Krishna and his devotees becomes dry and tasteless or hackneyed for them. Apathy toward Krishna is a diseased condition of the soul. A sick man taking medical treatment quickly regains his taste for palatable foods. Similarly, an offender who continually chants will nullify his transgressions and regain a taste for the holy name. Although a devotee tries to give up offenses, he is actually helpless and cannot do it alone. One can only get free from namaparad through bhakti, the power of Krishna's name, and by the mercy of Krishna's associates. So what are we going to do now that we have this knowledge? What we're supposed to do is take shelter of Prabhupada's instructions. Prabhupada says, if a devotee takes shelter, he will never be kicked. He will never be destroyed. And he quotes Kaunteya Prajjaniti, and he says, we are all being kicked just like a football. I just heard this. I've never heard him say this. And Prabhupada says, you've seen football? The football has no place. Always being kicked. Wherever the football goes, the person kicks. Kicks, kicks, we are being kicked just like the football from one place to another. You ever heard? 1974, Prabhupada in Bombay said that. He said, the profession of the conditioned soul is rascaldom. That's his job. That's my job as a fallen jiva, rascaldom. Rascaldom rascalism, and rascality. So, you know, we're starting as rascals. You know, we left Krishna, we came here, we're trying to be Krishna. Ridiculous. So Srila Vyasadeva has given the Vedas, you know, so we can get out. Unfortunately, we have no access to the Vedas. Vedeshu durlabham idam, right? You have to have Atma Bhakta. Without Bhakti, you can't even access the Vedas. So then you have to say, well, where do I start? So we go back to the beginning. Prabhupada told us exactly what to do. Don't do this, do this, chant your rounds, follow the principles, and attend his programs. Prabhupada put over 100 temples on the planet. And he didn't do that just so they'd be empty. He did that so there'd be a clean, safe environment for Vaishnavas to come and practice. Prabhupada said, we can count our numbers on our hands. The whole world is filled up in Devidam with 7 billion people that aren't Vaishnavas, mostly. So Prabhupada said, our numbers we can count on our hands. So he set this up for us. Prabhupada, and I know that if Srila Prabhupada was sitting here living and breathing, you couldn't get in this door. It would be packed, jammed full of devotees just trying to see Prabhupada. Well, guess what, kids? Prabhupada is here. And the Lord is here too. We learned last night, well, we knew it, but we don't hear it all the time, how deities can talk to you. And Lord Chaitanya pulls a deity out of his heart, gives it to the Kashyashvara and says, here. And Kashyashvara goes, oh, I want to be with you. So the deity immediately starts talking to him because I'm hungry. Feed me something. So if we take shelter of Prabhupada and we follow, even though we're playing the violin and it sounds terrible, and we have to beat our minds all the time because the mind is not going to surrender that easily. But if you take shelter and if you're an association of devotees with Prabhupada's blessings, we can actually do this. Just pray, Prabhupada said. Now, I got this. It's a little quote, Prabhupada. It's a 2-minute quote. I got it from Gudagaraj. He sent it to me. And you hear Prabhupada say, just think, I know I am fallen and wretched, but dear Krishna, I have brought this for you. Kindly accept it. And Prabhupada cried. I listened to that over and over. And I was like, wow, what a mood. That's the mood. My dear Lord, I'm wretched. I'm fallen, but I have brought this for you. Please accept it. And Krishna will accept it, Prabhupada said. Another thing is that everybody wants to be happy. The whole Vedic idea is that you be happy. And Prabhupada said, quote, if a devotee is morose or unhappy, you should know that he's being attacked by Maya. Devotee should always be happy. If he's not, he's in Maya. So everybody's in Maya, and that's why we practice this sadhana. So we can try to stay out of Maya. It's a full-time job and it's really difficult, but we're not giving up. We figure that we'll die trying. I got to say this too. Last night I went to pick up, and thank you, Jai Sri Radhe, for having the Bhagavad Gita program. That's such a nice thing for the kids to go to a Bhagavad Gita class and bhajan. So I had to pick up Radhe last night and we were going home. We went to get some gas. And I said, hey, Radhe, let's jump out and distribute some books, and each book is 10,000 books. So we grabbed some books, we got out of the car, and I gave some books to some people and told them about it and stuff, and then we went and gave one to this lady. She goes, oh, I have that Bhagavad Gita. I said, where'd you get it? And she said, my daughter went to ALC. Happens to be, and she said, my other daughter is Christiana. And I said, oh, I know her. She's the Whitney Houston of the temple. She does a Whitney Houston Mangalartik that's really sweet. And so I gave her a yoga. She already had the Gita, so I gave her Prabhupada's first book, Easy Journey to Other Planets. 1959, he wrote it, and it was published in 60. And Roddy and me were just like, wow, you don't expect that. You hand someone, well, I have that, you know. So I felt, wow, we just did about 60,000 books in that gas station. You know, you get credit for these things. Anyway, I want to continue on with my theme of offenses, because if you don't have these offenses, you don't have any problems at all, really. Maybe you do, but they're not that bad. Okay, here it says, in devotional service, there's no loss or diminution. Even a small service rendered in devotional life is sufficient to save one from the greatest danger. Vaishnava aparad includes the actions of the body, the mind, words, and the heart. To not feel joy upon seeing a Vaishnava is an offense. We've heard these things before, but if you think about it, because I have, I look and I see all kinds of things, unfortunately, and because the mind is a rascal. Remember, we're conditioned souls. Our profession is a rascal, though. So the mind's a rascal, and I might see something, and my mind starts telling me, well, hey, beat that thing with stick. Beat it with shoes. 100 times in the morning, 100 times. The prophet says, when you get up, beat it 100 times. When he said he quotes Bhakti Sanatana saying that. I do that every day, but it doesn't seem to work. But I'm not going to stop doing it. You can beat your mind all day long with stupid things still. It says in the Bhagavad, in the 11th canto, the mind tortures the heart. That's what it does. So you have to fight that. Now get this. We don't want to be envious. Offenses come from envy. Vaishnavas, people who blaspheme Vaishnavas go to the worst kind of hell, along with all the generations of their ancestors. That's Skanda Purana. That's pretty heavy. You blaspheme Vaishnavas, it's not just you. Your grandma, your grandma, your great-grandma. The whole family line. Finished. So you got to be careful when you're blaspheming devotees. Now, this is another far-out thing, is that from Brahma down to the grass, every living being is Lord Krishna's energy. All Shastras therefore declare, Lord Krishna becomes very angry with anyone who blasphemes another living being. Now, that isn't a Vaishnava. That's from Brahma to the grass. So you don't want to blaspheme your dog or your grass or anybody. I mean, I find sometimes I'm on Sankirtan if I'm not in good consciousness. You might meet some antagonism. You might meet some opposition to what you're doing. And if you're not careful, you know, the mind and the tongue will say something stupid. And every time I do that, I regret it and I feel ashamed because it's not my job. If I go, here's the Bhagavad Gita, shut up, get out of here. One guy told me yesterday, he goes, I came here to see Walmart, not you. And I said, well, God bless you. Have a nice day. So, then what do? You know, you can't, and my mind's going, because I'm Irish and I got all kinds of whacked out false ego, stupid stuff, and I had a bunch of nice things I could have said. This, but, you know, you don't want to do that. Because I'm in yoga, I'm in sadhana. This is bhakti. And if you're in love, you can't hate. What's the poet say? Ain't no time to hate, barely time to wait. Jerry Garcia. There's no time to hate. There's barely time to wait. Like the morning sun we come, like the wind you go. And when life looks like easy street, guess what? There's danger at your door. Even mundane poets know this stuff. So we got to be very careful. A person who calls one Vaishnava a big Vaishnava and another Vaishnava a little Vaishnava may be peaceful and happy for now. But for how long will he remain peaceful and happy? One should avoid that person who offends Vaishnavas, even if that person is otherwise very qualified. A little association with an aparati will make one fall down. Sadhu Sangha is so important. The sin of blasphemy robs the intelligence, fills the heart with suffering. Now, who wants that? Anybody here want to fill your heart with suffering today? I don't. I got enough. I got a dog. We got something I want to say about a dog. The dog's really nice. Shuba's a sweet dog, loving dog. But it's a dog. And you have to make a decision in your life of a choice. My family used to say, why do you deprive your kids of a dog? How could you deprive your kids of love of a dog? And I'm like, how can you deprive your family of cleanliness? If you like cleanliness, then you can't have a dog. If you want a dog, then you have to surrender your cleanliness. You put on your dhoti and your tilak, you're ready to go to Mangalartik. Shubha comes and starts sucking on your toes, jumping on your dhoti, licking you. And you're like, oh, you're so sweet, get out of here. You know, and you have to go wash your feet off. I don't want to walk in the temple with dogs spit on me. I mean, really. And I know there's a lot of people that have dogs. Hey, Shivananda Sain saved that dog. You know, but that was different. That dog never went in your house and licked your toes. It was just eating that coconut pulp, right? From where she turned. The dog chanted and went back to Godhead. I'd like to see that. I'll tell you one thing about Shuba. That's a lucky dog. That was a street dog, a puppy, a stray puppy in one of the most insignificant cities on the planet. I mean, people pay to get U.S. citizenship. People marry people to get U.S. citizenship. This dog just came walking out. Roddy falls in love with it. Boom, that's it. Flies to Miami. Not only that, the thing lives with devotees. You know, so it's getting prashadam and it's hearing the holy name. I mean, you know, lucky dog. Not lucky div. But, you know, it's all, Krishna's trying to teach me something. That, you know, and you have to take it. That my sister was telling me last night, my dog-worshipping sister. She was going, you know, div, if you fight it, you'll just suffer. So just go along with it. I go, okay, you come down here and let it lick your toes. She's already got a couple of dogs. Anyway, whatever. All right, back to reality here. That's all I'm going to say about the dog. Okay. Oh, listen to this. Now, this is really inspirational. Bhakti Devi completely disappears by committing Vaishnava Aparad. Poof. Vaishnava Aparad means to blaspheme, find fault, criticize, or speak ill of devotees. Generally, this is done out of fear and enviousness. Vaishnava Aparad takes place where there is fear and enviousness. Vrindavan Das says, raising his golden arms, Lord Chaitanya declared to the entire world, renouncing criticism of others, everyone, please chant the Maha Mantra. I will personally deliver anyone who does not criticize others and who once chants Krishna. Krishna. And he says others. He doesn't say Vaishnavas. He says, Lord Chaitanya will personally come and deliver your wretched rascaldom if you just don't criticize others. I mean, it sounds easy, but it really, it's not that easy. Another thing that haunts me is that your mind says a million things. Well, Krishna hears that. Krishna knows what we're thinking. He knows what we're thinking before we think it. So how embarrassing and shameful is that when you're rascal dumb and you're like, oh, that's right, the Lord's in my heart. He heard that. It's so bad. Anyway, what we have to do is participate in hearing and chanting. Where is that other one? This is really nice. If you remain in the association, Prabhupada says, Maya is extremely strong, but Krishna is an ocean of mercy. And by Krishna's mercy, it is possible to overcome. If you remain in the association of devotees, Maya will not be able to touch you. Never, ever. So, association of devotees, practicing sadhana, and he always says, sincerely and seriously. So if you practice serious sadhana, and you're sincere, sincere means that when nobody's looking, you still are on the path. Because there's so many times that nobody's looking. You know, I'm out there, I'm surrounded by the other 7 billion. And nobody's going to know if I do this. They don't know. They think it's okay. So then, you know, that's where you have to. I mean, you know, we always have choices in life. So then what you do is you take shelter of things like this. This is Bhakti Siddhanta. Look within. Amend yourself rather than to pry into frailties of others. In this world of Maya, averse to the Lord, full of trials and tribulations, only patience, humility, and respect for others are our friends. Patience, humility, and respect for others. Those are our friends for Hari Bhajan. Lord Gaurasundar puts his devotees in various difficulties and associations just to test their patience and strength of mind. I know about this. You never know who you're going to meet when you hand somebody a book or try to hand somebody a book. I gave this lady a book yesterday. She was sitting in her truck. She was so nice. She handed me a $10 bill. I didn't say anything. I just handed her the book. What is this? I said, oh, it's Bhagavad Gita. And she said, oh. I showed her the pictures. I showed the Prabhupada. I said, his students did the artwork. And she's looking at the paintings. And then, oh, thank you very much. You know, so I went away and distributed some more books. About a half hour later, I look over and the lady had gotten out of her truck and put the Gita. There was like a little curb with a, there was a little raised cement thing. And the lady just had set the yellow Gita there. I came walking around maybe 10, 15 minutes later and I saw the Gita sitting there and I saw her sitting there. She was waiting on her husband to come out of the store. You know, I just didn't want to go up and say, hey, what's wrong? Did you finish that already? That's about 800 pages. You couldn't read it that fast, right? But I didn't want to, I was like, you know, I don't want to rock the boat. Plus, she already gave me $10. I figured she got the Agyata Sukriti even if she didn't want the book. And I left it sitting there because I was thinking, because Weiss says this in his book too, that these books are on a mission and they have a personality and they're going somewhere. So if some lady buys the book and goes, I don't want this, and puts it down, somebody else. So I did another hour of book distribution in that place, and I looked, and sure enough, some guy walked up, picked it up, took it with him. You know, some guy's walking, wow, a bright yellow book, what's this? You know, it's like book distribution is all auspicious. You know, even if you see another lady, this is the same thing. I mean, there's so many things in life that are difficult, but one of the most difficult things that I've found, at least in my work, is trying to give one of these books to a Southern Baptist or a born-again Christian or somebody who's like, this is a perfect example of what I'm talking about. You don't have to get into the details or our philosophy or any of that. The lady just saw his divine grace. She handed me $5 and I gave her a Perfection of Yoga. And I said, have a nice day. And she said, thank you very much. And then she goes, sir, sir. I was walking away. And I was like, So I go back. I was like, what did I miss the Bible? Usually there's Bibles on the dash and crosses hanging. Sometimes you got Jesus up there. You know, when I see that, I just give them a shot of and ask them for a donation. I don't give them the book because I don't want to hurt them. Their Agyata Sukriti by eating prasadam and giving a donation to BBT is so much more powerful than when they get a book and say, and this is what she said, his divine grace? Because immediately, because they think Jesus is divine grace and everybody else isn't. So when she said, his divine grace, I said, she said, who's that? And I said, the author. And I just shut up. And she said, you know what? I don't think I'll read this. And she gave it back to me, which was okay. She was eating the prasadam, and she'd given the donation. But this is just welcome to my life. Here's another one. This is Bhakti Siddhanta. When faults in others misguide and delude you, have patience, introspect. Find faults in yourself. And know, others cannot harm you unless you harm yourself. Try to remember these things and you can get through life a little better. Like Sarva Shukha Mayadi Shaha. The whole world is happy. Like Vishvam Purna Sukhayate. Prabodhananda Saraswati. Prabhupada says in the Purport, he says, Prabodhananda Saraswati says that when one becomes Krishna conscious by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, he sees the whole world is happy. That would make the Sankirtan so much easier. Sometimes I'm out there looking to people, and I just wish that there was like a little tilak or a lotus flower or a dollar sign above their head so you could see who to pick. Because you can't tell. You know, I can't tell. You know, you walk up to some guy and you know, he just doesn't look like the type that would be interested in yoga or bhakti or anything. And then the guy's really into it. You never know. Or sometimes you see a guy. Saw a guy had a John Lennon sticker on the car. I said, oh, this guy's cool. It says Imagine, right? He was a hippie, maybe he's whatever, he's got to be liberal. Wrong. I go up and I hand the guy a book. He's like, I don't want this. I just walked up to him and said, I like your sticker, here's a book. And he was really, really mad that I had approached him to give him the book. And I said, oh, I'm sorry. Nice to meet you. Well, what can you do? Lord Chaitanya, this is an example by Gauranga himself. Lord Chaitanya worships his devotees. Lord Gauranga reveals how to rid the heart of envy. Envy is a fundamental cause of offending others. Always serve devotees with humility and think of yourself as a servant of the servant of the servants of the Lord. When Lord Chaitanya returned to Mayapur after receiving initiation from Ishvarapuri and Gaya, he was a different person. He was no longer arrogant and proud of his learning, and due to tasting Krishna Prem, Lord Chaitanya displayed genuine humility and respect for all. Whoever serves you, Lord Chaitanya said, because you are Krishna's devotees, you have the power to give someone the gift of devotion. That's what I'm saying. We want to give everybody happy. We give them bhakti. Whoever serves you will certainly attain devotion, because Krishna is very merciful to anyone who serves his devotees. After saying this, the Lord began to humbly, cheerfully, enthusiastically serve his devotees. Lord Chaitanya washed their clothes, wrung out their dhotis, and folded them. Lord Chaitanya is washing your dhoti. Wow. He was not ashamed to serve the Vaishnavas. Of course, the Vaishnavas were saying, Lord, stop, please, what are you doing, Vishwambar? Please, stop. In this way, every day, Lord Chaitanya acted like a servant of his devotees. What will the Supreme Lord not do for his servants? Just to serve them, he renounces his own nature. By personally serving Vaishnavas, Lord Chaitanya taught this truth to everyone. Whoever desires to worship Lord Krishna must always first worship his devotees. That's kind of inspirational, isn't it? I wanted to share this, too. This is it's a letter I received from Vaisheshika Prabhu years ago, maybe 10, 12 years ago. Just to get ready to see when Vaisheshika shows up, you can get a lot of mercy just in his association, even just a couple of days. Dear Divyanga Prabhu, Ami Pranam Kari, glories to Srila Prabhupada. I'm feeling better. Maybe it's because I'm approaching 50 and the hormones are finally wearing off or something. Or maybe it's just the years and years of hearing and chanting are starting to have their effect. But in any case, I've been feeling very fortunate to have miraculously come under the care of Srila Prabhupada at an early age, and I still feel his guidance and mercy to this day. As I get older, I feel my options dwindling, and this seems to be a positive force in helping me realize just how dependent I am on Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada's purports, Prabhupada's lectures, his society of devotees, and his service. And along with this comes a sense of gratitude for my friends, Divyanga, associates, mentors, those who have similar specialized sentiment for the above mentioned. In any case, Div, I want you to know that even if I don't call you as often as I should, I used to call him and say, I'd get him on the phone and say, why should you never call me anymore? You don't love me anymore. What's going on? So this is what he says. Even though I don't call you as often as I should, I'm always thinking of you and smiling because of your enthusiasm for Prabhupada, Bhagavatam, Prasadam, Sadhu Sangha, book distribution, and of course, sticking it to the man. Anyway, it's outrageous how simple the process of devotional service, isn't it, Dave? I mean, the holy name can render all benediction to all living beings. All benediction. What more do you want than that? And Div, from the holy name alone. Another thing I was reading recently, we make great advancement just by appreciating the devotional service of other devotees. Even if I'm a bum, if I'm grateful for others who aren't bums, then I advance. What a powerful process. So I had a moment of clarity, and I was able to still my frenetic mind long enough to jot down a few of my thoughts for my favorite pal in the whole world. Hope this meets you and your loved ones well and in Krishna consciousness. All regards, and never get off the boat. Love, Vaish. This fell out of a book yesterday when I was reading, because I keep all of his letters, and really looking forward to having him come. Like I said, it's a two-day thing, but it's not an ordinary two-day thing. And the first thing he's going to do is going to be on Gita Jayanti. He's coming in the temple. We're going to chant Gita Jayanti. And then on Friday and Saturday, he's going to do seminar in the temple and then actually take devotees out on book distribution. The 1st and 2nd of December. So be there or be square. This is Prabhupada again. Just like fighting soldiers, they are facing danger for their country, then they are recognized. Similarly, those who are preachers on behalf of Krishna preaching to people, they take to Krishna consciousness, they are great soldiers. So I'm very happy that you Americans and Europeans especially are helping me. Continue this process, and that is a very easy way to be recognized by Krishna. Krishna says, Na chatasman manusheshu kaschin me priyakritamaha. Who? Who is preaching Krishna consciousness? So I thank you very much that you have come here, and you are traveling, you are preaching. Let us dedicate this life for preaching Krishna consciousness all over the world. Never mind we die preaching, still it will be glorious. It's one of my prayers when I go out on Sankirtan. Let me die doing this. I would love to hand somebody the Gita and say, here's the Bhagavad Gita, and just, that's how I want to go. I don't want to dwindle. I'm not messing around. I want to cash in on all the books I've done and say, here's a Bhagavad Gita, and then, you know, have one of those heart attacks where you're dead before you hit the floor. That would be the way to go. And I just want to add this. This is really sweet from Bhaktivinoda. I'm singing the news of greatest happiness at the place known as Sarabhi Kunj in Srinavadweep. The marketplace of the holy name has now been opened, and guess who? Lord Nityananda himself is the proprietor. When Nitai sees a tear welling in someone's eye upon chanting the name of Gaura, he instantly gives his support to that person. Indeed, Nityananda bestows all divine opulences. He gives that person genuine realization of the pure teachings of Sri Krishna as found in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. That's just from chanting Hare Krishna to, of course, I never had tears in my eyes chanting Hare Krishna. But the process works, and if you don't give up the process, don't resent the principle, and try to not be offensive. Don't criticize. Don't find fault. Just try every single day. Beg the Lord to let you control your mind. And then one day, Lord Nityananda will give you divine opulences of realization of the Bhagavad Gita and the Bhagavatam. We no longer need to fear the terrible age of Kali. The most merciful Lord Nityananda gives the holy name to anyone, everyone, even the lowest among men. I see the lowest among men. Of course, I recognize them because they're my peeps. But I saw one a couple days ago, and this guy had obviously been sniffing spray paint. And the only reason I know about this is because when I was a kid in Ann Arbor on the Diag, there was this guy. His name was Dunbar. He's a big black guy. And instead of ganja and acid and all the other stuff, his drug of choice was spray paint. And every time you'd see him, there'd be a different color paint around his face. I don't know how long he lived sniffing spray paint, but it's probably not very long. But I saw a kid, this is 3 days ago in Ocala, and he comes, he looked wigged out. He looked like he was 18 or 19, and he's like, he was smoking one of those e-cigs, you know, with the big clouds of smoke coming out. And he came walking up to me, and I saw the paint. I was like, oh, man, this guy's Dunbar. He's got the paint going on. So I whipped out a Gita. He was just walking up to me. And I said, here. And believe it or not, he takes it and he goes, oh, Bhagavad Gita, thank you very much. I need this. Never would have expected that in a million years. And he just walked away. I was saying, well, there goes paint boy with a Gita. But he knew the Bhagavad Gita, he knew what it was. And he thanked me for it. He said, I need it. I was saying, man, you sure do. You need to stop sniffing that paint too, buddy. That's got to be bad. So, there's another story. This is really nice. We're in O'Hare Airport. My dear friend Manasuda, who was the biggest distributor in that airport. A devotee tried to sell a book to this guy from his hometown in Minot, North Dakota. And the guy didn't want it. He was a jock, stocky looking guy like that. And Manu runs down to B and goes, Deev, he used to call me Deev, Deev Younger. So I go, Deev! And what? He goes, come down here, you gotta do this. And he says, this guy, he was the captain of the wrestling team in his high school. So he tells me his name and he tells me who he is, and he goes, that guy right over there. So I go over to the guy and I try to give him a book, and he's not interested at all. I go, just look at the pictures. So he's holding the book, looking at the pictures, and he goes, yeah, I'm not interested in this kind of stuff. And I go, well, you can't just wrestle for the rest of your life. Whoa! The guy just goes, what? He freaks out. He gives me $20. Mano's suit is cracking up. The guy didn't recognize Mano. Of course, Mano wasn't a jock. He wasn't on the wrestling team. But And that's what we do in that. And we'd stand in O'Hare for 10 or 12 hours selling books. And Manasuda, he would go up to, people would come walking in the airport. You're standing, you got to see the picture. You're standing in the airport and there's literally thousands of people coming in at the rush at O'Hare. And there was only three terminals then. It's much huger now. There was three condensed terminals, A, B, and C. And you'd stand there and people just come flying in like, it's like India. So, you're, like people touching you on the sides and stuff. And me and Mono would be in there, and Mono would go, buddy! And put out his hand and snap his finger. And, you know, every 10th or 20th or 50th person would go and shake his hand. And the guy would stop, and Mono would give him the book. And that's how he did it. And he'd just start talking about the book. And one of his lines, which I always thought was, it sounded so stupid, but it seemed to work every time, he'd say, these books are ancient, and say they're ancient wisdom from India, and they're meant to let you know what's going on all over the world at one and the same time. And I'm like, that's not even proper English, man. And he goes, it works. And people would go, wow. At one and the same time. What the hell was that? But he'd sell 80 books a day like that and come back with 400 hours almost every day. It was unreal. And I was just there with him trying to keep up. And meanwhile, along the sides where we were working were all the airport employees, all the janitors and the lowlifes and the people that, you know, they're cleaning the toilets for back then probably 3-4 hours an hour. And they see us standing there giving people books who they know, it's not even our language, our religion, is completely, they'd say, it's a ripoff. They'd say, you bought that book? They'd go up to people after they buy a book. You bought that book? Well, did you look at it? It's not even in English. That was the mood of the envious employees at the airport. Some of them were nice, but most of them were. They just saw us standing there, me and Manasuda, wearing wigs, laughing. They knew we had bald heads, but we weren't. So immediately that just reeks of scam, right? Here's a guy, he's got a bald head, and they wear this mud, but they take off the mud, they put on the wig, and they put on the clothes, take off their dress, and then they sneak around, and they sell people books that you can't even read. Now, you know, any monkey could see that it's translated. And anybody who's not a complete moron could see that, look, these are being used by professors at Harvard and University of Michigan. And, you know, it's, but envy. And so Manasuda would be standing, buddy, give somebody a book, tell them something for less than a minute, and they'd give them $10 or whatever. And that was that. And we did that for several years out there. Much to Manasuda's credit, he was amazing, but the whole thing is that, and there was one guy. This guy was so nice. He would come walking up to me as a janitor in St. Louis Airport, and the devotees had given him so much prasadam and talked to him so much that he would come up to me and say, "Radhe Shyam, Balaram, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji." It's a 50-year-old black guy who was a drunk. He would bring back the books, you know, because people would throw away books and we'd buy them back for 50 cents, right? So people would bring back books and he would always clean them up and bring them back. And his name was Al Washington. He's probably dead now. He used to drink like a bottle of vodka a day. He'd come walking into work and they had these carts they'd clean up and he'd have his bottle sitting right in there, drinking like a fish. And he'd, every time I saw him, and Vaish started it, Vaish and Shankar and Magendra started this, and the guy would say, "Radhe Shyam, Krishna Balaram, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji." And when other devotees would come in the airport that never saw this, they'd say, "Al, tell him." And Al would walk up and go, "Radhe Shyam, Krishna Balaram." And he had this voice, "Gaur Kishore Das Babaji." And he smelled like alcohol and he always had a cigarette. Back then, you could smoke in the airport. So he's got the cigarette, the vodka, "Gaur Kishore Das Babaji." But that's because Pavani and Nagendra and those devotees gave that guy 1,000 cookies and cheesecakes and everything he could think of. And the guy loved us. Plus, he loved selling back the books because then he could go buy another fifth. And that's cool, whatever. Anyway, I guess I'll end here before the day's over. Does anybody have any comments? I would really appreciate it if somebody would say something. Oh, Guru Prasad, a book distributor.
I was in a bank the other day. I messed up my password. So I tried 3 different, they blocked the account. So I was by the bank, so I thought I'll go in and reset it. And so when I was resetting it, I thought I'll just use anything, and then when I go home, I can reset it. So I told the girl who was helping me, I said, "Oh, put Krishna." And she said, "Krishna, the God?"
Huh?
And I said, Yeah, and she thought I was going to ask her about Krishna. She said, all I know is Krishna is God.
That's all you need.
Yeah, I couldn't believe my mouth was wide open. I said, so you know Krishna? She said, yeah, he's God. And I could kick myself. I was thinking of taking a book in. You know, I always do. So I said, you know, I'm a Hare Krishna. She said, oh, are you really? She said, oh, I said, you know more than you think. And then she said, I said, next time I'll bring you some prasadam and some books. She said, you promise? And
sweet.
I said, yes. So you never know. I mean, this girl, you know, she's a young girl, black girl. The last thing I expect to hear was Krishna's God from her. And I thought,
problem solved.
Yeah.
The jivas can be glorious. They can be rascaldom, but they can be glorious, and they always amaze me. Vaishya says, don't give up on the jiva, Dev. He says, start with you. Don't give up on you, but don't give up on any jiva, because these are Krishna's parts and parcels. It's a big family. Krishna's the dad, and we're all his kids. Now, you look out there, and you don't recognize them as Krishna's kids, but they are. Underneath their covering, they are. I was in Earth Unfair, and after I paid, I pulled out my higher taste, and I said, here. And she said, Div. Because up on the screen, there's a awards thing if you shop there, and my name's there. So she went, Div, you already gave me that book. And I said, really? And she said, I started reading it, but my husband, who's becoming a doctor, took it. And he couldn't believe the first part of the book talks about, you know, where meat comes from and why you shouldn't eat meat. Obviously, they hadn't seen Food Inc. or Fast Food America. Geez, you see Fast Food Nation or Food Inc., you won't eat that stuff anymore. But anyway, so she said, he won't give it back to me until he's finished with it. He's reading it, which was great. So I gave her another book, a different book. But that's what happens. Whenever I go anywhere, I have them within my reach. When I go into Publix, I put two or three books in my pocket. You never know what's going to happen. And I'm on my mission down in Ocala to find John Travolta. I figure if Shamasunder can go to London and find the Beatles, I can go to little old stinky Ocala, you know, and find John Travolta. I've met at least 30 people that have met him. He's very friendly and he's very cool. He takes selfies with people. And he's not a Christian. This is his qualification. As far as I'm concerned, this is his qualification. Not a Christian, and he loves to eat. So I want to give him the higher taste. So whenever I'm anywhere in Ocala, I'm always on the lookout for Bhakta John. I'm going to get that guy. Anything else, please? Oh, Jai.
I used to do Sankirtan when I was in Ecuador for some years, and the system we had, we were going to the bus stations that they go to other places, and we have a megaphone, it was super weird, but, and then we said, ta-ta-ta-ta-ta, the book, and then people buy it. This book coming back in Spanish is called Volver a Nacer, that translated literally means taking birth again. And then we distribute the books, and then the next day we see in the newspaper it had been an accident with one of the buses, and they took, I don't think it was very nice, but they took a photo of the dead person with the book in his, like this, in his hand.
Wow, lucky dead guy.
Volver a Nacer. So I was thinking, oh my God, you know, I'm so happy.
Dios mio.
You know, Dios mio. Oh my God.
I mean, that's what happened. You don't know what's going to happen. You give somebody a book, they might get hit by a bus and then die on it.
Yeah, and people
have
a book like that in his hand, you know, Volver a Nacer. It was like, whoa.
More. Anybody else? Okay. Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Please forgive my offenses. Sarva Vaishnavara Paye Kori Namaskar Ite Aparara Kichu Nehuka Amar Om Tat Sat.